Well, we get into the Alec Baldwin roast.
So good. So good. You were good.
Thank you, Drew.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching. Mm-hmm. We'll get into those details. On this program, First Canvas Relief, organic, all-natural, premium CBD brand. Some of the best CBD oils and creams available for sleep, anxiety, and pain. Don't believe me? We can try it yourself.
Yeah, we've all heard the anecdotes. I mean, there's a lot of great anecdotes on CBD out there. Clinical science not there yet, but the anecdotes are just stunning sometimes.
Well, it seems to be working for people. Yep, and yep. Unlike THC, CBD is not psychoactive, so you don't get high. You just get the relief you want. So they're offering their first 500, or our first 500 listeners, who respond to this offer, the travel size CBD relief cream for just $2. Visit canvasrelief.com/ADS. Get your travel size CBD relief cream. Just $2 before they're gone. No strings attached. That's canvasrelief.com/ADS. Right, Matt?
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
Hey, Corolla fans, Dawson here with some good news and some bad news. Bad news first, we've sold out of Mark Garagus's mistrial for Adam's Monthly Nut. Sorry, you should have moved quicker. The good news is, sales are still open for Adam's Monthly Nut shipment, but this time we're throwing in Adam Carolla's Daddy Stop Talking instead. That's right, the book inspired by Natalia Carolla. All the rest of the items are the same, and you still got the same chance to win that golden ticket for a football Sunday with Adam. Head to Corolla Drinks now and sign up for Adam's Monthly Nut, but hurry, we will sell out.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
There we go. You got to get it on, man. I want to thank AIS Insurance and Canvas Relief, LifeLock, and True Car for sponsoring the show. There's Drew and his mic. What's going on, Broseph?
Hey, man. I finally watched the Alec Baldwin roast.
Mm.
On, baby. It was on.
Yeah, it was.
It was on. What's the reaction been like?
I got a couple of notices from like Vulture magazine or Vulture Online or something that had me and my rant against the woke folks or something at the end.
Yeah.
And I made a couple of those, you know, line of the night things or whatever. So says Chris Maxpat. I haven't seen it yet. And I haven't really been out and about that much. So I either get tweets. The tweets that I read say, you know, Corolla crushed it, or it's usually a chick going, everyone was funny but Adam Carolla. Because it's this weird.
Well, that is one piece that had a thought bubble over my head about the whole time. Like, even your buddies, even your peers can't let go of the women aren't funny nonsense. I understand it's a joke, and I understand why they use it as a joke. Mm-hmm. I'm not clear they understand your actual statement.
No, but that's not how it works. Yeah, like, right. It just kind of turns into whatever the news is. Yeah. You know, that's how the news works. But it's always, I would take it more personally, but I'm assuming there's this thing which is if you if the world thinks you said women weren't funny and then you endeavor to do something that's funny, then you then the women who see it will report, and he wasn't funny.
Right.
That's sort of the way it works. But I sort of pay it back.
Didn't you want to shake them and just go, I didn't fucking say it's not what I said. The feeling I had.
Yeah, not really. I mean, there is, I have, I'm not attempting to do anything that relies on anybody anymore. I realize it's all, for me, it's just going to be make a product, sell a product, have a good product, go do stand up.
Get it on.
Just do it. I'm not going to win anyone over or anything.
I get it.
I've now think about sort of being painted as this, you know, misogynistic, whatever, you know, the tweets that make me laugh the hardest are the ones that are like, I feel sorry for Adam's wife and daughter. they're both floating in a hot tub filled with champagne right now while I'm fucking working. Like, there's no boy, you got to pick better targets than that. Let's go with my mom.
Nah.
Do not pick the women I live with. They're
good.
They're eating out right now. Like, I'm at work. Like, that's the worst example ever of who you should feel sorry for. But it's kind of an interesting way to be painted, and it always just kind of gets a little more into the zeitgeist and a little further down the road, and then you just kind of become who you are in the world's mind. I don't know. I don't often think about how people think of me, which is a weird wiring.
It's weird to me that the final pathway, that all roads lead to cartoon character.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
If there's a way they can distill you to a cartoon image, they will do it, which is a stunning and bizarre thing to me. Like, that's the image. And by the way, that's your best way of being represented in the mass arena. Like, that guarantees you mass consumption once mm-hmm. you are a cartoon character. I told you that story that Don – remember this? I think you were there, that Don Wells told us.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've been over it once or twice. Natalie Holloway, is that her name, that played Mrs. Howell.
Mrs. Howell. You're talking Gilligan's Island.
We're Gilligan's Island. Don Wells played Marianne. Natalie.
Right.
Not Holloway. Gary helped me with that.
Yeah.
Played Mrs. Howell. And Natalie had this illustrious film career, like a long film career before mm-hmm. Gilligan's Island. And Don Wells told, you may not remember this, you and I a story.
Natalie Schaefer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were eating hot dogs at Pink 2 weeks after Gilligan's Island had aired.
Pink's, yes.
Pink's hot dog stand mm-hmm. on Melrose and La Brea. And she said all of a sudden a crowd gathered outside the window to look in on them. And Dawn said she told Natalie, you've had this film career. You could walk down the street. No one knew who you were. But now you're a cartoon character on television and everybody knows you.
Right.
As though cartoon – I don't know, is some sort of distillate of a human that the mass can consume. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. It's weird to me. They can't take something more nuanced.
Well, I think we've all been guilty just because of the hard drive space in our skull being limited. I've said before, I was saying on my podcast last week where I was saying, we've all been guilty of like taking this pop band or Christina Aguilera or somebody or even Celine Dion, you know, yeah. And you go, oh, lame, come on. And then you show up to the show and you go, oh, this person's really talented. Like,
right.
I've been underselling this person short for a while now. Like, I've decided that the pop band or the girl singer was just shaking her ass and getting paid or whatever. And then you show up to the Christina Aguilera concert and you go, this chick's got chops. And then there's a part of you that goes, of course, because we're at the Staples Center and there's 17,000 people here.
But in a weird way, you're making a case for why people distill music down to cartoon pop as well.
Yeah.
The same is said of music. You always complain about this, that people like these shitty music, but it's the cartoon version of the public figure or television character mm-hmm. in music, right? The only thing we can consume is the cartoon.
Yeah. So look,
something more nuanced? No.
Well, like
not on a mass scale.
What we don't have is enough time, or the sort of wherewithal, or the it's not that we don't have the ability. We don't have the desire to know everyone in a nuanced fashion.
True.
So what we do is we take the easy road, which is oftentimes the unflattering road. And we do, you know, there'll be some neighbor guys up the street. Yeah, it's the old guy who smokes a cigar out front. It's not the veteran. It's not the professional. It's not the survivor of cancer or whatever. It's just his old guy. So he's smoking a cigar. You know, I mean, there's a little of that.
Shorthand. Yeah.
There's a little like, some of it is practical. Some of it is like, I don't want to take the time.
I get it.
The other half, the other part's like a little schadenfreude where it's like, man, we're gonna tune that guy down a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm gonna make him a little lower. Maybe I'll rise up a little because of it.
But isn't it, it's just peculiar to me, and I'm gonna have to give this some thought, that the bigger the scale, the more the tune down. As a general principle,
mm-hmm.
The bigger the scale that you're being consumed on, the more likely you are to be distilled to cartoon. The more cartoon-esque becomes the desire. I don't know. The motivation of the mass is to push you more and more towards cartoon. I don't know that. I don't have a great explanation.
No,
for that.
It's music, person, TV,
anything.
It's a
weird.
Little. Well, it's kind of funny. See if we can bring this around.
Mm.
I say to people all the time, I can't believe people don't ask me more questions. Because if you're young or you'd like to get somewhere, you'd like to have something or some path to success, you should be picking my brain.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever asks me a question. And the reason no one ever asks me a question is because they think of me as just that guy who does this or whatever. There's a down round.
Yeah.
That goes
can
on.
Can I ask something? Hmm. I'm just a follow on to that. Is my question is that my peers complain no one ever asks us for our training.
Right.
Like if you were interested, you should know exactly. People have had great training, are delighted to share it with you. No one ever asks.
Nobody ever asks.
Yeah.
So there's an element of tuning down, rounding, I call it, and sort of tuning down. Also, there's
really
people don't fully like you can't make multiple appearances on the New York Times bestseller list, and you can't have multiple documentaries and do multiple TV shows and have like long. And, you know, careers involving this and that and sort of be super one-dimensional and super – like, or just the fact that somebody shot a tweet out the other night and she said, I worked with Adam. I'm a female writer and I worked for him and he just wanted the best joke because I would be a fool – to want to see your genitalia, although it is part of the deal when you work with me. And then base
that's
the
just
joke.
The, that's just the man.
It was Daily Hagar.
Fair,
right. I want the best jokes because I'm up there doing them.
Yeah.
You know, it'd not be a good way. It'd not be a good way to go through your career for you to really be that way. I mean, the same way that if you're a politician or you owned Chick-fil-A, if you were, in fact, a white supremacist, it would be a difficult career.
Mm-hmm.
It would impede your career. I would say that if you're a comedian or you're a politician or you're a big business owner and you were actually a racist, that would slow down sales in the third quarter of this year, this fiscal year. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's nothing in it for the guy from Chick-fil-A to be a racist or whatever, auntie, whatever he is. And there's nothing in it for me to not take a woman's funny joke over a man's less funny joke.
And again, the more nuanced the Chick-fil-A guy is distilled to a cartoon character, digital, yes or no, good or bad. He's either this or a bad person. When in fact, he gives tons of charity to something called Covenant House, which is a charity for youth, homeless, LGBT.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that stuff is neither here nor there. I'll let Drew read that.
This is Daily Hagar, D_Hagar, H-A-G-G-A-R. Also, as a woman who worked for him, meaning you, he was always fair. He cared about whether the joke worked, not the sex of the person pitching it. And I definitely pitched some stinkers, but whatever. It was a long time ago. That's really funny.
Well, there you go. But again, I don't also spending vast amounts of time trying to make a case of why somebody who you don't work with or you don't encounter as a hater seems to be a waste of your time.
Oh, yeah. It's not productive.
Not for you.
Yeah.
No. That's the way I roll. All right. Speaking of rolling, you got to get some insurance if you're going to roll. And you need AIS. Just another commercial? Sure. But you should listen to this one. I met Mark and Susan. They work for AIS. They're probably pretty high up the ladder if I'm meeting with them. They're the auto insurance specialists. They sell car insurance with a unique twist. Smart Quote technology compares the rates and coverages of lots of insurance companies. Then you pick your price. Doesn't get simpler than that. AIS saves its customers an average of $640 when they switch. Insurance rates are rising fast. You have to compare to save, and that's what they do. Best way is to let AIS do the shopping for you. Why not? Give them a call, 800-777-4AIS. And you can go online, check them out, AISinsurance.com/Adam. Yeah, I get it. I just don't, I don't know. For me, that ship has sailed. I'm not really treating Hollywood like a... Look, there's a part of Hollywood. At the very beginning of my career, I was living with Ralph, my roommate. I remember one day he was just sitting at the dining room table with piles of manila envelopes and piles of his headshots on the back with his, you know, voices he did. And he had a book that he got from like Samuel French, which is like the mailroom of William Morris and creative artists and whatever. And I just said, like, what are you doing today on Saturday while the sun is shining outside? And he's like, I'm going to fill up all these envelopes with my resume, my headshot. I'm going to send them to all these agents and managers and whatever. And I was like, how's that going to work? You know, and he's going, trying to get an agent. Like, he wasn't saying this is gonna work. He was just going, I want to get an agent. Something. I want to get a manager. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I couldn't see me ever taking a picture of myself and sending it to somebody and having them open the envelope and go,
he's got it.
This kid's got it. I know it when I see it. Now get him on the phone. Stat.
That's crazy.
I was like, this is never going to happen. So how is it you're going to make money in show business if this is never going to happen? And I, at the very beginning, was like, you must create your own character and create your own personality and go out and push it out there and get a microphone and get up on stage and have them come to you. It's never going to work. Auditions, you're never going to beat out Jeremy Piven. You're not going to do anything. If you want to be on a TV show, you have to create your own TV show. You're never going to be on a TV show. No one's going to cast you to do the man show. And by the way, no one's going to cast Jimmy either. You guys have to create your own show. I figured on that early and often. I really did. And now, for slightly different reasons, I feel the same way. I've never felt different, which is...
Well, now it is that way for everybody, I think, right?
I just have to create my own job.
Yeah.
You want to take this call?
I do, because what we've been talking about.
Andrew, 18, Long Island.
Hi. Huge fan. Hi. I just saw you on the Alec Baldwin roast in Comedy Central, and I thought it was hysterical. You're the best part of the night. I want to know what people's reactions were to your... what you said about the social justice warriors and how Alec Baldwin was holding back laughter when he knew he shouldn't have laughed.
I thought that was the highlight of the night, right that moment.
It was.
And interestingly, you had some great jokes. I can't remember them because this stood out so much in my mind.
They cut my favorite joke.
Which was it?
Sean Hayes, everyone. Will and Grace is back. And I said, Sean Hayes, what a comeback. Incidentally, what? That was Sean's nickname in high school.
Why'd they cut that?
I don't know. Made me fucking laugh. He made him a bottom in high school. He was comeback in high school.
There was a lot of people on top of Sean jokes being tops to Sean.
I don't know. That led me right into the gay thing. It was, God damn it. I just fucking took 18 seconds. It happens every time. I
got to find out if Nikki Glaser is suicidal from whatever they cut from her. Because she was upset that she forgot two jokes. Literally. She was like beating herself up because she forgot
as previously discussed. Yeah. God bless Nikki Glaser, but she started off doing 18 minutes, and it's like they beat the shit out of you going, gotta cut it down, gotta cut it down. And the whole thing is like, look, the rules just need to be the rules, which is everyone gets three pages in the teleprompter. You just can't go. Yeah.
But not the rant at the end.
No, I put everything in the teleprompter.
Even
the
fuck sticks.
Yes.
The word fuck stick was in the prompter.
I put fuck stick. Well,
that was great.
Jimmy said, well, to be fair to me, they just go hand in your script. And once you hand in your script, they put it in the thing. Yeah. So Jimmy said you should do a thing at the end, like a social justice warrior thing at the end. And I was like, oh, that's a good idea. And then I handed it to Mike Lynch and I said, whatever the shit you've heard me complaining about, like all woke and no joke, and like some of the stuff I've said over the years, give it to me. And so he kind of shaped it into it. And then I shaped it a little more. And that's what we sort of ended up with. But I'm glad people responded to it. But what?
Well, it was to me, I remember the conversation we had last week about Dave Chappelle, and you sort of warned me this was coming, so I was like anxious to go see it. And I thought it was a rallying point for pushing back on public censorship.
Yeah.
You know? And how did your peers on the dais take it? Did they comment afterwards? They all seemed to like it in the moment. And I know Baldwin, I was watching very carefully. He loves your humor.
Yes.
He always has. We've for years known that, right?
Yes.
Because he sought us out to tell you things you said on the air that we couldn't remember.
Right, yeah. Right.
And he immediately was breaking down when you hit the podium, including the fuck stick comment at the end.
Yeah.
So I know he was on some level supportive.
He's supportive.
Yeah.
I don't really think there's a great, you know, I don't know, Bruce Jenner's Republican and Alec Baldwin's a Democrat. I don't think there's much of a chasm between the two of them.
Personally, you mean, or in terms of their political beliefs?
I mean, you talk about political stuff, but I mean, they're both into just hard work and beating, you know, and personal responsibility and, you know, all the kind of –
Alec's a little patronizing, though. He would like to take care. The government should take care of people. And Caitlin would be, no, pull back, government. That's not helping. That's the difference.
Yeah. He would – here's the whole thing. He would say that. He would never tolerate it from his own family or whatever. Yeah. It's sort of like
by the way, if you don't mind, can I step in here? Ireland was awesome. Is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
Did you tell the joke about her?
No, I don't.
Naming her Ireland? You could see I had two very powerful reactions to that. One, there could be nothing more uncomfortable than facing down your daughter's complaints publicly like that. And I could see him he became like half his normal size while she was up there.
Yeah.
But then by the same token, he was very tough on her out on the red carpet. Why are you wearing those fucking shoes? Did you catch that?
I did not. I was near him on the red carpet.
Such an interesting thing that was, I thought. Are they cool together or is there a problem there?
I really don't know. I just like show up, do your job. I didn't even know there was an after party.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting. And I could just like relate as dads can relate. Oh, your daughter's not that age yet, but it'll come around.
She'll be there by the time your read's over.
Speaking of children, child information, particularly their social security number, has lots, in fact, up ultimate value to scammers. It's a clean slate for opening new credit lines. Kids don't have credit reports, so a thief can use their info to open new accounts, run up debts before somebody catches on. The kids aren't checking on this. There are many, you might call them ingenious, but ultimately they're just lazy ways that cyber criminals can take what's yours. Rather than act, they're not doing any actual legwork, they're just thinking of ways to rip it off easily. That's why you need things like LifeLock, and it's a good thing that LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help you protect against threats to your devices that you can't easily or see or fix on your own. And of course, if there's a problem, they have agents who will work to fix it. You can't hear it happening, but you know it has the potential. That's why LifeLock, Theft Protection, Norton Security protect you against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. Right, Matt?
That's right. No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses. But LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Act now, and for a limited time, get 30% off your first year with promo code ADAM. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or visit LifeLock.com and use promo code ADAM to save 30%. Offer expires October 6th. Don't wait. Join now at LifeLock.com.
Yeah, so you do these roasts now and everyone just sort of takes to Twitter, and then you just divide the room. There's no gray area anymore. And
I mean, they loved it or hated it.
They hate you or they love you.
Yeah.
I've really realized, and I've been saying this, and Drew, you are going to dig.
Oh, I'm ready.
I have been saying for quite some time, you must calibrate yourself. You must tune in. We used to do it on Loveline all the time. We'd be like, I don't know if I should break up my girlfriend, or I don't know if I should get this job or leave this town or whatever. And I'd go, ask yourself if you want to do it. And if you want to do it, then do it. You know, but first be calibrated, be tuned in.
And let's dig a little bit deeper into that sense. Fine. You mean your primary feelings that are emanating from
your experiences. Yeah.
Listen to your body almost. Almost.
Yeah, but I'm not really saying listen to your body. I'm saying stand outside your body and observe yourself. And there's a lot of people that have a horrible golf swing, and they think they have a great golf swing because in their head, they're swinging it like Arnold Palmer. But look at
yourself dancing.
Right. Be able to stand objectively and judge. And this will pertain to arguments you have with people and discussions and disagreements.
Being objective.
Be objective.
Yeah. Okay.
And for good or for bad.
Yeah.
And then we will figure out, you know, if you paint a bedroom, walk into the bedroom and decide whether the bedroom was painted correctly and nicely and competently or it's a shit show.
Yeah.
But don't ask who painted the bedroom. Just judge the bedroom.
Right.
And I've said to people for 20 years, more than 20 years now, get yourself dialed in. You make your decisions, then you'll be dialed in.
It's a harder thing people do than you might imagine, but I agree.
It is hard. It's impossible for people
to
do.
Okay, and?
So you sit there and you're on the internet and it's like, so-and-so did a great job, and so-and-so did a great job, and so-and-so, you know, Nikki Glaser, Jeff Ross. Then Adam Carolla came in and shit the bed, least funny in the whatever. And I actually had this thought, which is, if I wasn't there, and I sort of had no memory of being there and didn't see Baldwin laughing or the audience laughing, didn't experience it, and I was just reading this, I'd be like, oh my God. Like if somebody built a time machine where I just jumped ahead a week and I was reading this.
Like, shit, what happened?
Geez, everyone was kicking ass and then Carolla hit the stage. Like I'd be having these crazy thoughts. Things would be running through my head of like, oh, did the prompter break down or did I just have a panic attack or like what happened? But I realized I was there. It did go well. I'm now reading another one saying, unfunniest person on the planet took the stage and blah, blah, blah. And I have to reconcile that with what I know.
Yeah.
And I have to try to remove myself and sort of put myself in the audience and go, all right, I've heard the words and the allegations. Now, what did I do? What could I have done? Or how did it work? Or how did people respond? And at a certain point, I think, well, those aren't happy words to hear. But I'm going to have to think if I shit the bed, And if the answer is no, then I think that's this person trying to get me to feel a way about myself that they would like me to feel that I probably wouldn't like to feel about myself.
Yes, there's some of that, right? Some of it is just biting, trying to take a bite out of you.
And by the way, if I got up there and mailed in a 6.5, I don't want to upgrade it to a 9. I want to be realistic about what's going on. But I think the problem is the person turned what was a decent or solid performance into shitting the bed, and that was their mistake. They went too hard.
Yeah,
that's the problem. By the way, it's the same with calling someone a Nazi. You've gone too far. You'd be much better off with a nuanced approach that poked holes in their policies. You just call them a Nazi. The person goes, "Oh, okay, I get it now. Yeah,
pass. Move along.
Move along." And when you go, "Corolla shit the bed," I go, "Oh, okay, move along." If you wrote some critique where you're like, "Hey, there was 10 comedians. Here's my power rankings. Corolla, you know, Baldwin's number one. I got Corolla at 6. I'd ingest that. Mm-hmm. I'd go like, "Yeah, well, okay, who would you put yourself above? There's some pretty good performances that night." Yeah. But they don't. They just go, "One up there made an ass of himself." And then you go, "Okay, I get to keep moving now."
A friend of mine posted something on Facebook where she said the only way some people that are attacking you get a taste of success is by taking a bite out of you. And she's someone who just got a TV show, and I thought, oh, I know what's happening to her. I know exactly what's happening to her. I got to call her and tell her support
it's
her.
It's funny. I told people, if you want to do it right, you start with, "I usually like Adam Carolla. I'm a fan. This time, he shit the bed." And then I go, "What? You usually are a fan."
I know. I hate it when people do that. Right. That's hurt. That hits you the quick. Right, used to be a fan of yours.
Since I started announcing that, some people do that now. Like I used to be a big fan, and now...
just to get at you.
But here's the whole deal.
Right now, public life is just simply this. It's just what it is.
But here's the deal. Tell me I should rethink some of my thoughts about immigration or border security, or whatever. Yeah. Fine. Call me a Nazi. Oh, we're moving on. Mm. I'm no longer listening. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You explain to me your thoughts on the border, and I'll give you my thoughts on the border. But if you're going to call me a racist and a Nazi, then I'm moving on. Yeah. And that's a mistake that you guys are making, because if the plan is get me to change my mind or inform me.
But this has come full circle now. This is the cartoon version is the only one we can work with.
All right. Well, you should be working with True Car. Oh, that's what I'm saying. True Car. Man, can't put a price on your stories, but how do you put a price on your car? Well, you can. Find out what your car's worth, and when it's time to sell it or to trade it in, you get that price. Just go to True Car. Enter your plate number, your car's details pop up, then you answer a few questions. Once you're finished, you get a true cash offer sent to you in minutes, which you can take to your local certified dealer to cash out, or you can trade it in. So when you're ready for a better way to sell or trade in your car, you check out True Car. You want a used car? You go True Car. You want a new car? You go True Car. Or you want to just drive in, drop off your car, and leave with a big fat check and Uber home, you go with True Car. True cash offer, not available in all areas, but I bet you don't live in one of those areas. All right, let's see. West Palm Beach, we're at the Improv. We're doing a live pod there for the cruise, October 3rd. That's right. It's coming up.
What day of the week is that? Are we going to be there
Thursday? I don't know. You got to check that out.
See, October 3rd is a Thursday. So you are probably going straight into Miami.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little outside Miami.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we'll see Drew and you guys on the cruise. Probably a couple tickets left to that. You can go to...
It's a huge ship, by the way. I looked the ship up.
Oh, good.
Oh, my God. You seen that thing?
Oh. Yeah, we were on the West Coast version of it, I believe, on the last cruise. It's amazing.
Go to travelbyparker.com and get up those last few tickets. And you can go to amcarolla.com for all the live shows everywhere. This Friday, Napa Uptown Theater. That's the 27th, doing stand-up there. Go to amcarolla.com. Drew, what do you got?
Go to doctor.com. Remember, After Dark, it's there for you guys. You'll like this.
And check out the Court Junkie Podcast at Podcast One Apple Podcast. Until next time, I'm Pro Dr. Say Mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.